If you have a Bible this morning, I want you to find the book of Exodus, and we're going to be in chapter number 14. Exodus is the second book in the entire Bible, so way towards the beginning. And good morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is Sunday morning if you have forgotten what day it is. Anyone else just plain confused on that? This week we were in the office, and Pastor Corey, one of our other pastors, we were just talking, and we seriously did not know what day of the week it was, to the point where Corey had to grab his phone, open it up, and show us what day it was. But today is Sunday, and I'm excited about today. Just to give you a little update from last week, last Sunday, we presented a strategic plan to help all sorts of people in all sorts of different circumstances in the middle of this season of social distancing and sickness. We have a plan to help people financially who need that. We have a plan to help deliver groceries and essentials to people who are shut in, and a plan to talk to people and pray with people and give guidance in all of that as well. We had a huge response last week from people wanting to help. We already have needs and things that we're working through. And in fact, if you have a need and you are watching this right now, I want to just ask you, when we're done with this, to go right to our website, rlcmn.church. And there is a place where you can submit a little form really quick to have needs met, physical, spiritual, pray with you, all of those types of things. It takes like 10 seconds. Also, if you want to help and you haven't signed up to be a part of that or to help in any way, you can find a form to sign up for that as well. If you want to give financially, if you want to pray with people, if you want to deliver groceries, all sorts of different things, go to our website. Right there, there's an opportunity for you to sign up for that. We want to be the church during this season. Amen? Come on. All right, that's enough of an introduction. I could not be more excited to share with you for just a few minutes specifically what God is doing in my life and in my heart and what I believe God has for us as a church family and even as a community during this time. So we're going to look to the Bible, but before we do, I just want to ask you to take a moment with me and let's just pray together and ask God to really do something during this time. So God, we open ourselves up to you today. We sit on the edge of our seats. We lean in and expect you to move and you to speak and you to do something so real and so powerful even in our midst right now. And so God, we just pray that you would help, that you would move, that you would do something through me. God, we don't want my words and my thoughts. We want to hear from you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, turn to somebody on the couch next to you and give them a high five. There we go. All right, that was fantastic. Well, this has been an interesting season for a number of different reasons. Sickness, loss of work, stay-at-home order, homeschooling, and we could add all sorts of things to that list. But in the midst of I've just felt so much negativity. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, there have just been so much negative stuff, social media, all of that, articles and all of that. In fact, I feel like social media right now is half filled with negative posts and COVID virus links, and the other half is filled with memes, kind of poking fun at the whole thing and the whole situation and us as Americans. And in no way do I want to minimize the fact that we are in crisis right now and that difficult things are happening. But I want to show you a couple memes that I think have been fantastic and it will kind of set up where we're headed with this today. I love this one. Like a good neighbor, stay over there. Can you hear the jingle in your head? New slogan from State Farm. So funny. Go to the next one for me. I love this. Couldn't wash his hands, is now extinct. T-Rex, short little hands, can't. All right, moving on. You got it. Go to the next one for me. Lots of people have been talking about haircuts and saying that hairstylists should be essential right now. Quarantine week number 4. I cut it myself. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's great. And then go to the last one for me. People are talking about gaining weight. My family has been cooking and baking like you wouldn't believe. Okay, quarantine day number 1. Little Debbie, quarantine day number 14. Big Deborah. How many of you are feeling that? I am feeling that in a massive way. Well, I want to show you a quote. Go ahead and put this up here for me from a man named Winston Churchill that's really going to set the tone for what we're going to talk about today. He said this. He said, attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. And what I want to do is I want to show you, even in the Bible, and point you to something today that is really going to say, like, this is a key to Christians, in a way, standing out in a season, and in a culture, and in an experience like you and I are facing right now. Exodus chapter 14 tells the story of a man named Moses. I'm sure you've heard that name before. In this story, we're going to see God supernaturally part the Red Sea, this massive body of water, and like a million or so people are going to walk through the middle of this sea as the walls of water are held up on. It's a crazy story of how God saved people who were in a very desperate situation and a desperate need. But it's also a crazy story from the Bible of a whole bunch of people who grumbled and complained all the way through. History tells us that the Jewish people, a people called the Israelites, were slaves to the Egyptian people. The Egyptians were led by a pharaoh who was ruthless, who was horrible. And men, women, children, elderly people, like a huge, massive number of people were in slavery, trapped in the nation of Egypt. Well, Exodus chapter 2 says these people cried out for help, and their cry rose up to God. As a nation, they cried out to God, and God heard their cry. And this is where Moses enters the picture. God appears to Moses in a crazy way. Moses is walking around and he sees this bush that is on fire. He walks over to it and God begins to speak to him out of this bush that is burning up. And God says, Moses, I'm sending you to Egypt to help set my people, the Israelites, free from slavery. Moses says to God, you got to be kidding me. Who am I to do that? They won't believe me. And I have a stuttering problem. That's in the Bible. God says, yes, you. And so Moses makes this long trip to Egypt, shows up at the doorstep of Pharaoh, and demands that Pharaoh let his million or so slaves go free. Pharaoh says to Moses, I don't know what you're smoking, but that ain't going to happen. Moses says, God sent me. And he says, let his people go. Pharaoh says, no, I'm not going to do this. And this is where in the story we have the 10 plagues. I'm sure you've heard of that. God sends these 10 terrible things one at a time on Egypt. A bazillion grasshoppers show up, eat every single bit of crop in the land. A hailstorm comes and destroys all sorts of things. The Nile River turns into blood. Animals die. The list goes on. And finally, the firstborn son of every Egyptian dies. But miraculously, not a single person from the Israelites is impacted by any of these plagues. Well, when the Egyptians start dying, Pharaoh finally says, like, get out of here, leave, every single one of you, go. And he releases the million Israelites from slavery and sets them out. And so picture this, we have like a million former slaves. They start walking all together out of Egypt into the unknown. Okay, the fact that I have three daughters may have come out right there. Some of you are thinking, I don't know what that was. That's okay. Well, they start walking out into the wilderness. Well, look what happens next. Verse number 5 here of chapter 14 says, when word reached the king of Egypt, that's Pharaoh, that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done letting all those Israelite slaves get away, they asked. So the Egyptians gather their army, chariots, horses, all of this, and they begin to chase down the Israelite people. Like, you're a bunch of women, you're a bunch of children, you're a bunch of elderly people walking in the wilderness in massive numbers, and now this army with horses and chariots and soldiers, they're all chasing you, and you have no way to outrun them. You're like, you're toast. And to make matters worse, there's a massive body of water that ends up right in front of you called the Red Sea. The Red Sea in front of them, this army, the Egyptian army behind them, they are trapped. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They start freaking out. They're saying, Moses, like, you doof. Why did you bring us out here to die? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Verse 13, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Everybody, chill out. God's got this. Just stand still. Verse 21, then Moses raised his hands over the sea. The Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Moses like raises up his hands in front of the sea. Picture this, like this wind comes and the sea begins to part in the middle. These walls of water begin to form here. It blows and blows and blows. The ground becomes dry and the Israelite people begin to walk through. They begin to walk through right there, okay? Like a million of them through the middle of the sea. Still doesn't fix their entire problem though, does it? Because there's still an army chasing them. In fact, the story says that the Egyptian army chased them into the middle of the sea. But God begins to fight for them in a different way. The story says the wheels of their chariots begin to fall off and get twisted and get stuck. The Egyptians are struggling in their attempt to catch up with Israel. The Israelites walking through, Egyptians struggling. Well, the Israelites all make it to the other side. They get to the other side and Moses again lifts up his hands over the water. Let me read this. And it says, then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh, all of the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, like not a single one survived. Not a single one. Not only does God miraculously do this, part the Red Sea so they can cross, but he gets rid of the threat, gets rid of their enemies. And the story ends with this verse. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. All right, come back with me here, okay? What we have here in this story is a group of people who were facing what seemed to be a hopeless situation. They're trapped. They were stuck. They were shut in. Like there's impossible on one side with this massive body of water and impossible on the other side with this army approaching from behind. You're huddled together. You're afraid. You're not knowing what to do, not knowing how this is going to turn out. Like life is on hold. Things are messy. What are we going to do? What is going to happen next? It kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? Like we're shut in. We don't know what's going to happen. There's this level of fear. We're just trying to hold on. Life is on hold. Things are messy right now. And do you know what the Israelites did in that moment? This is so powerful. This is so amazing. Don't miss this. They began to whine and complain. They spread negativity and hopelessness. The Israelites had been freed from slavery. They're out walking in the wilderness. They realize that Egypt is chasing them. And here's what they say. They say, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you that this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Things aren't going the way that they wanted them to, and the people start complaining and grumbling and whining and arguing. And by the way, this isn't the last time that we will see them whine and complain. From here, from the Red Sea and the miracle that happens right there, they go out into the middle of the wilderness. And they get out there, and all of a sudden they say, we're going to die. There's no water. Why can't we just go back to Egypt? And Moses does something. A miracle happens. Water comes out, and they get water. Then they walk a little farther, and they say, we don't have any food. We're going to die out here. Can't we go back to Egypt where there's food? God miraculously sends food. And then they go a little farther, and they say, we're sick of this food. We're tired of eating this food. We want meat, not just this bread-like stuff. We want real. In Egypt, at least, we had other food. God then answers their prayer, shows meat and all this, a miracle, one after another. And then they get to this place, the place that God had promised for them, this amazing new land. And they send some people into this new land, and the people come back and they start saying, those people are big and those people are strong. We should have never left Egypt. They continue to grumble and complain again and again and again. Well, why do I bring up this story? Why does this matter that these people grumbled and complained? Well, in this season, I've found myself asking over and over, how should we respond as Christians, as a church? What does it look like for us to be the church? It's the question on our mind. And if you tuned in last week, you heard us tell a story from the 4th century where a disease was wiping out a huge part of the population over in Europe. Things were horrible. People were dying. People were running from the cities to seek refuge out in the countryside to try to save themselves and their families. And yet we read that the Christians were on everyone's lips. Why? We looked at that. Because they were willing to do things that no one else was willing to do. People were fleeing away, yet Christians stayed. Christians helped and tended to those who were sick. Christians took the bodies of people who died and began to bury them and all of that. They were willing to do things that no one else would do, and it led to the Christians being on everyone's lips. Well, this week, I stumbled across a verse from a book in the Bible called Philippians, where the Apostle Paul, from prison, writes a letter to a group of Christians who were struggling. And here's what he writes. Check this out. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. And like what stuck out to me as I read this week is this phrase, that you will shine like stars. That's what I want. That's what we want. We want to shine in this season of difficulty, in this mess that we have in our world, in our culture. We want to stand out. We want Christians to be on everyone's lips. We want to shine. I saw that phrase, shine like stars, and I thought, yes, well, how do we do that? How do we do that? And here's the answer. You do everything without grumbling or arguing. Well, wait a second here. Like, did I miss something? I mean, don't you mean you go to church a lot? Don't you mean that you spend time in prayer every day, that you read your Bible and all of the, isn't that how we will shine like stars? Those things are fantastic. Do those things. But today, as we're looking at this right here, and the words of the apostle, like, you shine like stars. We shine like stars when we don't grumble and argue, when we don't grumble and complain, when we find ourselves in difficult situations and circumstances, we will shine like stars when we don't grumble and complain. As Christians, why we don't need to grumble and complain? Do you understand? Like, let me show you this. It's because we understand this. Seasons of pain and suffering often lead to seasons of growth and miracles. We know this as Christians. We see it all throughout the Bible. The Apostle Paul even at one point says, rejoice in your sufferings. Why? Because sufferings produces perseverance and hope and character. And he writes all these things. James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes, take joy when you face trials in your life because you will be strengthened. You will be better. You will trust God more in those seasons. In our story today, that we read, the suffering, the difficulty directly led to God miraculously moving in their situation. They trusted God more because of the situation that they went, that they experienced. They were trapped, they were shut in. Sea on one side, Egyptians on the other. It did not look good. Did not look good, and they trusted God more in the end because of it. Last week, we talked about three men being thrown in the fire. Horrible event. Never a good thing to be like someone issues your death sentence. Not a good thing at all. But God does a miracle in the Red Sea story, and he does a miracle in the fiery furnace. Their pain and their suffering led to miracles and growth in their relationship with God as we trust him more. And as Christians, when we approach situations like the one that we are in right now, and we approach it without complaining, without grumbling, without arguing about different things, then we will shine like stars. Like, let's not just survive this. Come on, somebody. Let's not just strive to get through this season. There are things that are out of your control. Much of this virus stuff, much of this situation, completely out of our control. Your job situation, for many of us, it's out of your control. Your kid's school and that situation, out of your control. And you can do everything in your power to try to keep yourself healthy, but there's so much of this in our world that is completely just out of our control. But do you know what is in our control all the time, every moment? The way in which you respond and your attitude. I came across a story this week that rabbis in Jewish history used to tell to their Jewish students to kind of teach them things. The story of two former slaves who are walking across the Red Sea, the parted Red Sea. And these two slaves who have been rescued, and the sea has been parted in half, and they're being miraculously led to the other side, but they're complaining because it's muddy. And one is saying, I'm getting mud between my sandals. And the other is saying, I'm getting mud in my toes, and I hate mud, and it's so squishy. It's so dirty. It's just nasty. And check this out. And they continued to complain about the mud in their toes and on their sandals, but because their heads were down, they failed to look up and see the walls of water being held back for their safety and their freedom. I'm not saying that you won't get sick. I'm not saying that the economy is going to recover perfectly. I'm not saying you won't have financial struggles in this season. But so often, we walk around with our heads down, complaining about the things that are going wrong, and we miss what God is doing right in front of us. And I want the church and I want Christians to be on everyone's lips. Not our church, it's not about us. I want Christians and God to be on everyone's list. And I want us to shine like stars in our warped and our crooked generation. And we do that by being people that spread hope, not fear. And we do that by people who spread hope, not negativity. Like, let's not be people that are adding to the grumbling and the complaining that is our nation and our world during these times. Let's be people who speak life. Your attitude matters. And you may, and we may very well look back at this season right now and everything that we have gone through and say, wow, that was the season that I saw God move and I saw God work and I saw God do things like never before. And my relationship with God is in a completely different place because of the coronavirus. There's no question that we are in a difficult season and we're dealing with all sorts of things. I mean, there's fear. There's fear of the unknown. There's fear, the fear of getting sick. There's a fear from the people we love and all of that stuff. There's also frustration of being stuck at home, not being able to work for some of us. There's confusion. How is this going to end? What do I need to be doing? How big of a deal is all of those things? There are feelings of being overwhelmed. I'm now a teacher. And not just a teacher of one grade, I'm a teacher of a second grader, a fifth grader, and a seventh grader. Like, we are all over the place right now, aren't we? All over the place. And the temptation for you and the temptation for me is for us to be super negative, for us to be critical, for us to be complaining and arguing and bickering about things that really don't even matter, posting on social media all sorts of things and how crazy life is, and we're complaining and we grumble and we argue and all of those things. But this morning I want to encourage you, to shine like stars in this warped and crooked generation, in the midst of this mess that we are in. Let's be people who shine like stars. Before we close this morning, I want to just take a few moments, kind of just for a time of prayer and reflection, and really just sort of to ask ourselves a few questions. First is this, like, how am I doing with all of this? How am I doing? Specifically, do I find myself grumbling and complaining? Do I find myself being very negative, posting things on social media, all of that? And what does it look like for me to take a step in the right direction here? Overall, how is my attitude towards life? Am I viewing this season as an opportunity to see God move in my life and my family and in my situation? And if you're watching this right now and you would just simply, like, be in agreement with me saying, God, I want my attitude to better reflect you. Will you just agree with me as I just pray for us for just a moment? God, we need you in this time like never before. We want to experience you. We want to know you, God, in a better way. We want to hear your voice, God, speak to us and move in us. But Lord, I pray right now that the Christians would be on everyone's lips. Not because they read their Bibles and because they pray and because they are watching church on the internet, God, but I pray that it would be in the way that we live our lives, God, and even like we saw today, that we would not be filled with negativity, that we would not be people who are complaining and all of that. God, that we would truly shine like stars, that people would look in our direction and say, wow, something is different right there. God, that is what we want. That is what we're after. And God, I pray for every person watching this right now, for every family in the middle of a difficult situation and a difficult season. Lord, I pray that we would see you move, that we would come out the other side of this saying, wow, look what God did. We thank you, God. It's in your name we pray. And finally, maybe you're watching this right now and you know that you aren't right with God. See, the Bible says every one of us, we're all sinners and we're all in need of a Savior. It's why God sent his son Jesus to die for you, to receive his forgiveness and to receive his grace and his mercy. And the scripture says that if you will put your trust in him, if you will look to him and make him Lord of your life, then you can be saved. It's the words of the scripture. And maybe you're watching this right now and you have never experienced that. You have never responded in that way, and you've never given your life to Jesus. What I want to do is I just want to lead you in a prayer. In fact, everyone who's watching this, please just take a moment and pray with me. These aren't magic words. This is a heart thing between you and God, but let's just pray this together. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. And now for what's called a benediction, which is just a blessing kind of spoken over you. May you experience the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And may you shine like stars in a desperate and fearful generation. The Lord bless you and keep you, be gracious towards you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.